said here, "You're my friends if you do whatsoever I command you." In verse 17, he said, "These things I command you, that you love one another." And I want to talk to you about that tonight. The Bible tells us in Song of Solomon, chapter number 2, and verse number 4, it says, "His banner over me was love." His banner over me was love. I started to, as my introduction to this message tonight, I started to stand up here and tell you all the things I'm against, because it's a long list. And because the truth of the matter is, you can't love like the Lord wants you to love unless you're against the things that are contrary to God. It's impossible. And I think if you come here any time at all, you'll listen to the preaching, you'll find out that there's a whole heap of things that we are against and intend by God's grace to be against. And one of the things that hopefully someday they'll be able to say that, boy, that preacher's a grouchy old man. He's against everything. And I don't want to wait till I get to be an old man to be against it. Amen. Because I've seen what compromise does, and I've seen what change does, and I see what's going on in our world today, and the idea in our churches that we embrace everything and accept everything. After a while, you don't have a church, you have a social club. But in the midst of all that, it's easy for us to overlook the greatest, maybe the greatest earthly asset that there is, and that's the love that Jesus Christ brought into this world. Romans 5:8 says, "But God commendeth His love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life." I'm glad for that word love. When we were growing up, and I understand everybody's different, but we were growing up, and one of the last things we would say is before we go to bed is, "Good night. God bless you, love you, and don't forget to say your prayers." We'd always all say that to each other there at the house. And I remember growing up, it was just a common thing to say to my mom and dad, "I love you." And that's never been words that have been foreign to my lips, and it's strange to my lips. And I'm glad that we say that around our house. And that word love, though, is not to be taken for granted. It's not just a careless word. And the world has done all that can to destroy the idea of love. And they've made a mess out of it. And the average boy and girl nowadays, they don't even have any idea what you mean when you say "I love you" or what love means anymore. But the Bible, all throughout the Bible, we see that word and the idea of love. Romans 13:8, the Bible says, "Owe no man anything but to love one another. For he that loveth another hath fulfilled the law." 1 Peter 1:22 says, "Seeing ye have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren, see that ye love one another with a pure heart fervently." John 13:34 and 35, the Bible says, "A new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another, as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one to another." Proverbs 17:17 says, "A friend loveth at all times, and a brother is born for adversity." Luke 6:27 says, "But I say unto you which hear, love your enemies. Do good to them that hate you." And then in verse 28, he says, "Do good to them, which despitefully use you, and with them which hate you." And so tonight, I want to talk to you about that, and I just want to tell you what Jesus' love has meant to my life. And man, I'm glad that I can stand here and testify that I've been born again. I'm glad that I can stand up here in this pulpit tonight and testify that I'm a sinner saved by grace. I once was lost, but now I'm found. I was blind, but now I see. I was on my way to a place called hell, but Jesus Christ came and died on an old rugged cross 2,000 some years before I was ever born into this world. But He looked down through the portal of time, and He saw that Travis Bradley would be born. And He saw that Travis Bradley would be born a sinner, and that he would need a Savior. And He died on Calvary. He gave up His life for me. And guess what? He looked down the portal of time, and He saw the day you would be birthed into this world, and He saw the fact that you would grow, and He saw every sin that you would ever commit, and He realized that you would be a sinner and that you would need a Savior. And on Calvary, He bore all my sins. He paid all my sin debt for me, and He paid all your sin debt for you. Every sin that I've ever committed was paid for at Calvary by the blood of Jesus Christ. But God commendeth His love toward toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. You say, well, why did Jesus have to die? Because the Bible says the wages of sin is death. The wages of sin is death. And God placed on sin. He told Adam, He said, in the day you eat thereof, He said, you shall surely die. And God placed death as the penalty for sin. And God cannot lie. And God cannot go against His justice. But thank God, in the midst of God's justice, God claimed and proclaimed that the penalty for sin would be death. But God, in His mercy, set forth His Son, His own Son, His only begotten Son, who would come to this earth and be born of a virgin and live a perfect and sinless life, the perfect Savior dying for the sins of the world. He took all my sins on Him at Calvary. And brother, I'm glad for that tonight, to know that I once was lost, but now I'm found, was blind, but now I see. I can't help but rejoice in the fact that Jesus Christ loved me and He gave Himself for me. And my hope is in Him. My home someday, I'll be in heaven. I'll be a joint heir. I already am. I'm a joint heir with Jesus Christ. And someday I'll walk on streets of gold and through gates of pearl and walls of jasper. And I thank God for that tonight. And it's all because of God's amazing grace. Because of His love, His mercy for me and you. Brother, listen. No one's ever loved you like God loves you. No one has ever cared for you like God cares for you. Boy, it's nice. It's wonderful to have somebody on this earth embodied in flesh. Somebody that you know that they care about you. Somebody you know that person loves you. That you can trust them. But friend, listen. Hey, that person may leave someday. They may pass away. We may say goodbye to them. And we may miss their loving affection and care. But thank God. Listen, Jesus Christ will never go anywhere. He'll love you all the way through. He's there as a loving friend and Savior. So tonight, I want to tell you this. In Galatians chapter number 5, the Bible says in verse number 22, and I'll read it to you there. And in Galatians chapter 5, and if you want to find it, you can read it with me. But Galatians chapter 5, verse 22, the Bible tells us, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. The very first thing that he says is that the fruit of the Spirit, number one, is love. Number one, it's love. You say, preacher, what is this love that Jesus gives? And I want to just tell you, all I can do is testify from here on out and tell you that I'm glad for the fact that Jesus has given me a love for the ministry. Brother, listen, you say, preacher, what is the ministry? Well, I would like to think that part of the ministry is what I'm doing up here right now and preaching, but it's much more than just preaching. Brother, listen, I would like to tell you, and I believe that part of the ministry is Brother Frank is leading the choir. I believe that's the ministry, and I believe that the ministry is standing and teaching a Sunday school class, and I believe that the ministry is coming to the church and trying to clean up the church and trying to make things smell good and make things nice. I believe that the ministry is when the offering plate comes by, rather than begrudgingly putting a nickel or a dime in there, if you could put a little extra, you put it in. Say, why? Why you put extra in? Because you love the ministry. You love the work of God. You love to see souls saved. You love to see the church go forward. You love that you look into this old sin-cursed, rotten world, and you look at the condition that it's in, and you see as the only hope for this world is the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ. And you thank God for the ministry. Brother, listen. Hey, I think it would be impossible. And I don't understand. I guess that there are what you would call unsaved preachers, lost preachers. They say that they're in it for the money. And I believe that. And that's an incredible thing to me. But the truth of the matter is, and I believe one of you, J.R., may you tell me about an interview that you heard, and how that several of these so-called preachers who were in it, and brother, listen, making millions and bukus of money, now though they're weary, and it's occupation to them, and it was an occupation in the beginning, and they're discouraged and down, and brother, they ought to be discouraged. Listen, they ought to be something far worse than that. But the ministry is not just a means to make a buck or to make money along the way, but it's the opportunity to preach to people and to teach people and to show people who Jesus is. Brother, listen, and the only hope for this old wretched world is the ministry of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Well, I thank God for anybody who has looked down and who has allowed Jesus Christ to open up their heart and insert in that person a love for the ministry. Brother, listen, I'm glad for that. And I could wish nothing greater for my children than for them to grow up and love the ministry. I don't want to be misunderstood. This morning I talked about my family and I said something along the lines that don't feel sorry for us or something other. And what I do mean that. When I say that, I'm talking about don't feel bad for us because we're in the ministry. Don't feel sorry for me. Amen. Listen, you can feel sorry for them because they're stuck with me for a daddy or a husband or something like that. But don't feel bad for us because we're in the ministry. When I say that, that don't mean don't be kind to us. Well, I appreciate you. Kindness, amen. I appreciate your help, bro. Don't get me wrong. I appreciate the folks in the church saying, you know what, boy, we love our preacher and we know that he has needs and his family has needs and we want to help. Well, I appreciate that. I don't want you to misunderstand. What I'm talking about is whenever people look at the church and they look at the preacher and they look at the preacher's kids and they look at the gospel ministry and they say, oh, boy, that poor preacher's wife, she must be so sad having to be married to a preacher. And them poor kids, boy, they got a preacher for a daddy. Listen, they might feel that way, but they hide it real well. What I'm saying is don't feel sorry for us and think that we've been slighted. Friend, listen, as far as I'm concerned, and I can pretty well speak for them too in this, as old Joshua said, but as for me and my house, we'll serve the Lord. Amen. Hey, and we wouldn't have it any other way. We wouldn't listen, and I wouldn't have it any other way. I cannot tell you any greater lie than to live your life for Jesus and say, Lord, what wouldst thou have me to do? The greatest thing that any man will ever do for his family is say to his family, and I'm not saying that his occupation, I don't care what it might be, he could be the garbage man, whatever he is, but he could say, listen, hey, we're saved, we're on our way to heaven, and every opportunity God gives us, we're going to find us a ministry, and we're going to do something for God, and we're going to be involved in the gospel of Jesus Christ. Brother, listen, preacher, I go to church and all. I'm not just talking about going to church. I'm talking about being involved in the ministry of the gospel of Jesus Christ. The preacher, am I involved? You know if you are or not. Are you tired yet? If you ain't never been tired on Sunday night, you ain't got involved yet. Amen. But listen, hey, I remember we used to pick up boys and girls and bring them to church on the church bus. And boy, listen, and I don't say this to try to impress you, but we had a pretty tough schedule. We'd get up about 4 o'clock on Sunday morning and go pick the buses up and bring them back and get them ready. And then we'd go run the bus routes and we'd have to wake the youngins up, go through the neighborhood, wake them up. And I had a bus route in East Chicago. It was all Spanish. And you ought to try to, and excuse me for using the term Mexican here, you politically correct people, but you ought to try to wake up those little Mexicano boys and girls on a Sunday morning in Chicago whenever it's 5 degrees outside, amen? And they got every burner on the stove on and they got the oven open and you knock on the door and you're throwing rocks at their windows and mommy and daddy are not getting up and you go in there and you get them all dressed. Boy, listen, they get on that church bus, you know, them little stocky built boys and girls and they get on there and they're singing and praising God and listen, they go to Sunday school, some of them don't have lunch and you got a little old bag lunch that they give you to have to eat for the whole entire day and they're hungry and man, listen, and some of them, old, they can hide their lunch, you know, wait to get rid of the kids, but listen, hey, you take that lunch, give it to them, say, hey, would you like a sandwich? They say, yeah, I'll take one and I'll eat that. And man, they eat anything you throw at them and you go get them a box of donuts and they eat them donuts up. Brother, listen, hey, I would rather, I don't feel sorry for somebody in the ministry. I look back on those days and we'd go from early in the morning to late at night. Sometimes we'd deliver our bus up there in Illinois at the bus station about 12:30, 1 o'clock at night. I remember one night in January, everybody had delivered their bus and everybody was on the way home and we didn't have a ride. There was one fella had a little Ford Ranger and there was 5 of us needed a ride back to the college. And we asked that fella, he was married. And can you imagine a newly married man? He didn't want to mess with us college boys. He wanted to get home to his wife. And he didn't want to mess with us, but we begged him. Said, man, you got to give us a ride. And he said, well, I've got my truck. And so me and another fella, was 22 degrees out that night, a Filipino boy. We jumped in the back of the pickup truck, had 2 little coats. And I told him, I said, don't move, whatever you do. I said, you lay here and I'll lay here. We're pretty close. up. Amen. But listen, I said, now just don't move. You start moving around, you get cold. Man, listen, we laid the back of that pickup truck and drove back up there about that hour-long trip. And hey, I look back over that and I wouldn't trade that for anything in the world. Listen, hey, those were great days. And I'm glad to be able to stand here tonight and say I still love the ministry of the gospel of Jesus Christ. You say, preacher, it wearies me. Hey, brother, listen, it's the greatest weariness you'll ever have is to be able to look back and say, you know what, I'm tired, but I'm a good tired because I got to be a part of the Lord's work. Sometimes it inconveniences it, but it's the greatest inconvenience in all the world, because if only one person gets saved, if only one little soul hears the gospel of Jesus Christ and they get born again, that soul will live forever and ever and ever and ever in the portals of heaven, and that's one that was rescued from the fires of hell because somebody cared. Because the love of Jesus took hold in their heart and they stepped out of their boundary and their comfort zone and said, hey, Lord, here am I. Send me. Boy, listen, we talk about missionaries, and I thank God for missionaries, and we talk about big preachers, and boy, everybody thinks about Billy Graham preaching to the multitudes and all that, but listen, there's not one in the ministry any greater than anybody else. You just surrender to God and say, God, what do you want me to do? And I'll do it. And listen, whatever it might be, God talks about bringing just one cup of water in His name and how the Lord will bless that cup of water. Friend, listen, I'm glad tonight for the fact that Jesus put in my heart a love for the ministry. I wish you, I don't understand. There's some, it seems like, that it's a burden. But brother, I'm glad that God put a love for the ministry. You say, what's the ministry? It's helping the helpless. Helping the poor. What's the poor? People that cannot take care of themselves. People that cannot help themselves. And friend, listen, I'm glad for that. I thank God for that tonight. Boy, I love the bus ministry. And I love bringing children to church. And I tell you what, I wish we had room to bring in about 50 or 60 or 100 more. Amen. And enough teachers to work in there. And listen, hey, I believe that in God and His time, we just stick and do right. Listen, when you talk about increasing the ministry of the church, I believe that's what it's talking about. Increasing the church's ability to reach boys and girls and to reach folks who otherwise no one else would want to mess with them. But we want to get them, amen? That's what we're looking for. Jesus Christ, He gave me a love for the unlovely. You know, I can think back and through the years, and I think of a fellow named John Riley one time. John Riley lived in this little trailer park in Portage, Indiana, right beside the road. And it was kind of a scary trailer park. I wondered if the Lord even knew it was there. I just stumbled in this little place one day, and there was a fella in there I met, and he worshipped Eckankar. And he was funny. He was weird. He kind of scary fella. And I talked to him for a few minutes, and I went up the street and knocked on a trailer, a little old junky trailer, old magazines, bad stuff laying around everywhere. And this little old bald-headed fella come out and introduced himself, and I told him who I was, and he said, well, come in. I went in there and talked to him. We must have talked for 30 minutes or so, and he talked, and I invited him to church, and he said, I don't know if I'll come or not, but about a week or so later, we had one of those Northwest Indiana snowstorms. Put the power out. And John's power had been out all week long. And I went by to visit him. And I said, man, John, I said, is your power out and been out? And he said, yeah. And I said, well, I said, we got to do something about that. So we went and got him some coolers and did some stuff and got ready to leave. And he said, wait a minute. He said, is your bus coming tomorrow? And I said, yep. He said, can I ride? I said, yeah, you can ride. John rode that bus for 1 year straight. He sat right behind me. He was an old truck driver. Never missed a Sunday. He sat right behind me and talked to me. And boy, listen. And then John got his driver's license. He was going to die, he said, in a couple years, but he decided to live a little while longer. He got his driver's license, got him a little van, and started going to the church nearby and started playing the piano for him, the organ. And listen, John called me one night after I had left Indiana and come back here and started the church. He called me. He said, guess what? I got to tell you something. He said, I led my first soul to Jesus last night in Bible school. 50-some years old. Hey, and Jesus Christ made the difference in his life. Listen, there was a man. He told me one time. He said, man, he said, I didn't want to talk to you. He said, I thought you were one of those Mormons or something. He said, but you never even bothered. You just come in and talk to me. Brother, listen, I'm telling you tonight that there's a world full of unlovely people. Boy, I hate alcohol. I hate booze. I hate dope. I hate what it does to people. I hate what it does to homes and how it ruins lives and all the wickedness of our day. But thank God that Jesus Christ saved me and He put a love in my soul for those people. Listen, I want to help them. And brother, listen, I'm glad to be a part of a church full of people that understands also that they need somebody to love them. And brother, listen, Jesus has given me a love for church. I can't speak for everybody else, but all I can do is speak for me. And for me, it's not a burden to be in church. I love it. But I enjoy it. I can't, Brother Anderson, we were talking about it this week and trying to, I guess we were kind of both scratching our head trying to understand why church is such a burden to so many saved people. And I don't understand why it is, really. I've talked to others of you about it. I don't understand. Listen, it's a joy to be in church. It's a joy to get to go to, especially to have a good church. Amen. Listen, I can understand if you had a bad one, but if you got a good one, it's a blessing to get to go and be there. Amen. There's folks all over the place like to have a good church to go to. And brother, listen, it's a joy. God's given me, Jesus has given me a love for church. I have to testify, admit that as a young boy growing up, I don't know that I always loved it. I always went. I don't think I had a choice. Mom and Dad act like I did, but I really didn't. But I tell you what, I love to be in church. I love to be around God's people. You say, what do you love about it? I love the Christian fellowship. Brother, listen, I'd rather be in the Lord's house around people that are saved, going to the same heaven I'm going to, got the same Holy Ghost inside of my hand. Listen, I like people. Man, I enjoy talking to people, but I like Christian people. I enjoy talking to saved people. I like talking to people that aren't complaining and griping and bellyaching all the time, that they can see beyond just the things of this world and all the problems of this world, that they know that their hope is in Jesus Christ. Hey, might be someday I get discouraged. Might be someday I get down. I need me a good Christian buddy that I can call and say, hey, how you doing? And they can say, I'm doing pretty good. I'm saved, aren't you? I said, yeah, I'm saved. I don't have to complain, tell them I'm down. But friend, I like to have somebody, a friend in Christ, somebody you can talk to that will lift you up and encourage you along the way. You won't find that fella anywhere else except you go to church and just get to know God's people. Say, preacher, what about cliques? I don't know about cliques. Amen. The whole church is my clique. Amen. This is the whole church. Listen, I can't imagine cliques in a church. You know what I mean? This group and that group and the upper crust. You know what the upper crust is? That's the bread held together with their own dough. The crumbs held together with their own dough. Amen. Brother, listen, preaching of God's Word. Why I like going to church and hearing good preaching. As a little boy, man, listen, I'd get these preaching tapes and I used to order them. I couldn't wait for my preaching tapes to come in the mail, amen? And I had a good church, but my preacher didn't always necessarily get with it, and he tried, I guess, but I like good preaching, amen? Well, I like to find me a church where I can go and the preacher will take the Word of God and he'll thunder out what God's Word says, and the preaching will encourage my heart and encourage my soul, and I can walk away saying, boy, we had preaching tonight, amen? Boy, listen, I like preaching at church. And I like church because it's a place of truth. Listen, you can get your newspaper out and you can read all those editorials you want to, and you can get mad and you can say, boy, that guy don't know what he's talking about, and you can fuss about that all you want to. Listen to the news and they might lie to you. Some of them may every once in a while might tell you the truth. But thank God, there's a book right here that we preach at the church house called The Word of God, and the church is the pillar and ground of truth. And the number one thing about church, you can come and hear the truth. Amen. Say, preacher, I don't always like the truth. You need to hear it anyway. The truth hurts sometimes, but thank God for a church that you can go to where you're going to get the truth. That's what boys and girls need, and that's what moms and dads need. That's what people of all ages, we need the truth. Boy, America needs the truth. We got enough preachers today that are just interested in making people happy, making people feel good, and soft-soaking, and pink tea, and lemonade, and compromising, penny-pinching, nickel-nipping. A bunch of preachers today, brother, listen, that are just worried about making people feel good. That's why they cancel Sunday evening services. Friend, listen, look around. Man, we're Sunday night. It's not popular to have church on Sunday night, but we pretty much got a full house here. Thank God for that tonight. People that love church. And you know what's going to happen when you get here? We're going to sing the same songs. Preacher's going to stand up here and spit and slobber and stomp around. You know what's going to happen. Same old stuff, but you keep on coming. Amen. Brother, listen, that's the way it ought to be. No need to change something that works. And the Lord ordained it this way. It's a place of truth. It's a place of scriptural music. Well, I love coming to church, Brother Eric. I'm right with you. I love coming, and man, listen, I like singing songs. I like this songbook right here. I love to hear, even if I don't remember the ones, my favorite all the time. No, not one. I got it this week. Amen. I forgot it last week, but blessed assurance, Jesus is mine, and victory in Jesus. I think of the story. The old preacher, I think it was Brother Howes, went in a little old Texas church one night, and he went to preach as a guest evangelist, and he was sitting down there waiting to be introduced to preach, and this the song leader stood up and he said, "All right, turn to number 255. And the fellow beside of him said, "Praise God. Hallelujah, hallelujah." And listen, then he started singing the song, and he announced another one. He said, "Oh Lord, praise the Lord." He said, "Buddy," he said, "you don't even know what song it is." He said, "I don't have to, preacher." He said, "They're all good." He said, "They all stir my heart. I can't help it." There's a fellow that loved church. He loved songs, hymns, and spiritual songs. Right before Jesus would be crucified, guess what he did? Anybody know? He went out with his disciples and he sang a hymn. Boy, listen. "I come to the garden alone while the dew's still somewhere." Amen. On the roses. Like the little boy, I came home from church. He said, "Mama, I found out Jesus' first name at church this morning." She said, "You did?" And he said, "Yeah." He said, "I went upstairs. They wasn't looking. I went up in the big church. And they were singing a song. And Jesus' first name is Andy." She said, "What do you mean it's Andy?" She said, "Well, they were singing the song about Jesus. I know, because that's what they sing at church. And they were saying, 'Andy walks with me. Andy talks with me. Andy tells me I am his own.'" She said, "So Jesus' first name must be Andy." Amen. Thank you for laughing. You've only heard that one 45 times. But listen, hey, church, man, it's a place you can come and hear good Christian music. Well, you're driving down the road and listening to radio and a show or something other, and so long, all of a sudden something comes on, and man, you don't know where it is. Respond out of the Hades or something. But thank God for good Christian music. I'm glad that we got a church full of people that appreciate songs, hymns, and spiritual songs. Well, I thank God that God looked down and God moved in our sister's heart and blessed and gave us a piano player and answered our prayers. And well, I'm glad. I thank God hearing that piano playing. Amen. And I'm glad tonight to be a part of a church that likes old-fashioned singing. Brother, listen. Jesus has given me a love for the ministry, and He's given me a love for church, and He's given me a love for people who don't know His excellence, His greatness. Man, listen, you know, I feel bad tonight, and I'm almost done, but I feel bad for folks that don't know how good Jesus is. Brother, listen, I can't imagine trying to find your happiness in a bottle of Budweiser. Because I can't, there's no comparison. I can't imagine trying to find your happiness in some dope or some weed or some something like that. Friend, listen, friend, there's no comparison. It's not even in the same sentence. Jesus is far better. What a friend we have in Jesus. What a friend. Oh, what peace we often forfeit, all because we do not carry everything to Him in prayer. Boy, listen. I can't tell you tonight how good He is to me. We talked about it this morning, about your cup running over. But I'm going to tell you tonight, I'll go from thinking about, "Lord, how are we going to do this? And how's that? What about so and so, Lord? And boy, look at their situation." And then a sweet, settled peace will come over me. And I'll think, "Boy, it's so good to be a Christian. It's so good to be a child of God. I'm glad Jesus loved me and died for me. I'm glad I'm going to heaven when I die." Number four, Jesus has given me a love for a life that would be pleasing and honorable to God. I don't think that I say this tonight with any hint of pride. Honestly, I don't. I know me very well, and I like the fella said, he's going to write a book on pride and how I obtained it. I'm not talking about that tonight. I say this with all sense, a great sense of humility, because I know where I'd be without Jesus. But I'm glad that whenever He saved me, He put a spirit of love in me that causes me day by day to love the idea of living a life that pleases God. Boy, I can't tell you tonight, I want my life to reflect what Jesus has done for me. I want my words to reflect Him. I just want to live a life that pleases God. See, the Christian life is not, to me, a bunch of lists of things don't to do. Boy, a bunch of restrictions, a bunch of rules. I'm glad for rules. I'm glad for all that. But what the Christian life is to me is an opportunity to shine in the midst of darkness and let God look down and say, there's one right there for whom my Son Jesus died, in whom I put my Holy Spirit, in whom I blessed and filled them with my love. And boy, in the midst of all that darkness, there's one right there that shines and who's glorifying and honoring me with their life. You know, that's all any of you want your children to do is to please you. You want to be able to be pleased with them. And if I can use the word, you want them to live in such a way that you can be proud of. I don't like that word, but it's a fitting word to use. But when God looks down, as Christians, there ought to be a love in us that Jesus has given us that we want to please the Father just like Jesus pleased His Heavenly Father. And that would do away with all the restrictions, saying, oh boy, the Christian life, I can't do this, I can't go here, I can't go there. Why would you want to go anywhere that what God wouldn't want you to go? Why would you want to do what wouldn't be pleasing to God? Why not live for Jesus? Why not let His light shine through you and let your life glorify the Father? Dear Heavenly Father, thank You tonight for loving us. Lord, there's so much that could be said, but Lord, thank You for the fact of what Your love, what Calvary has meant to this old world, the difference that Calvary's made. God, I pray that if there's one here tonight who never before has trusted Jesus Christ as Savior, God, I pray that tonight would be the time, Lord, that they would lay aside all reservation and without any hesitation they would come tonight and accept Jesus Christ as their Lord and their Savior. I pray, Lord, for those of us here who are Christians. God, may we pray tonight, God, increase our love. Let the love of Jesus overwhelm our lives. Let His love fill our lives so that it branches out from us to all those around us. Not the love of wicked things, just for the sake of saying you got love, but the love of Jesus would be in us. Bless tonight the invitation. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Heads bowed and eyes closed. I'm talking about loving sinners, lost people, enough to witness to them. I'm talking about loving your lost relatives enough to pray for them and witness to them. Why don't you come tonight if you're here without Jesus? Come. And if you're here and you're saved and you say, preacher, I want to have a greater love for the things of God and a greater love for the ministry and a greater love for what Jesus would have me to do for my brothers and sisters, you come tonight and pray and say, God, increase my love. B.R. Lakin, a great preacher of past days, prayed. He said, God, give me love for every man and woman, boy and girl that ever lived. Give me the love that Jesus had. And let me preach as a dying man to dying men that I might lead others to Jesus. Lord, increase our love for those around us. If you need to come, you come tonight.